see the reading there again, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Reading from verse 19. And Jesus, this is all part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaching his disciples the nature of the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom of God, or as Matthew has it, the nature of the kingdom of heaven, and what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. We thank God for this reading, and as always, we pray that the written word might become for us the living word of God as we hear it and receive it and respond to it. Now, these last few weeks, we've been focusing on the Lord's Prayer, a series headed, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. The disciples of Jesus come to Jesus and say to him, teach us to pray. And as I've said each week, it wasn't as if the disciples of Jesus didn't know how to pray. They knew how to pray. They were good Jews, and they would have been taught from when they were very small how to pray. And they would have prayed regularly. Every day they would have prayed several times. So they knew how to pray. But what they're asking Jesus is, Jesus, give us a prayer that is distinctive for us as disciples of Jesus. A prayer that people will only pray if they're disciples of Jesus. If they're following somebody else, then they'll pray something else. But give us a prayer that marks us as being your followers. And if you give us that prayer, what would it say? And of course, Jesus gives to them the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And we say it, we've said it earlier, and we say it regularly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And these last few lines are what we have added, as it were. But in the text, the words that Jesus gives come all the way down to this line, but deliver us from the evil one. In the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on this prayer. We began with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we reflected upon that. This is a community prayer. It's not my Father, but it's our Father. And we know Father as generous and loving and merciful. And our Father is in heaven. We reflected that heaven is much closer to us than perhaps we often imagine. God is closer to us than we imagine. And then this line, hallowed be your name, holy, special, revered, sacred is your name. And we might say, well, God has many, many names. And each one of those names is holy. Each one of the names of God is sacred. And you'd have to say, yes, all of them are. But right here, the prayer that Jesus gives his disciples, the name that is holy, the name that Jesus wants his disciples to live and pray and regard as particularly holy, is the name Father. That is the name that is given to the disciples. And then last week, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is God's kingdom. It cannot be nationalized or rationalized or even personalized. It is God's kingdom. And that prayer, your kingdom come. This is the disciple. The way this is phrased, your kingdom come, it is, we might say, even stamping our foot, saying, God, your kingdom come now. We want your kingdom. We want the values of your kingdom. We want the ethics and the morality and the politics of your kingdom to come. And the disciples are praying. They're not praying, may your kingdom come over there somewhere. But they're praying, may your kingdom come right here. May I know, even as I pray these words, may I know personally within myself and lived out through me the values, the morality, the ethics, the politics of the kingdom of God right here, right now. And today we get to the next line. I've just gone up by mistake. We get to this line. Give us today our daily bread. I was thinking, Sam, this could be your favourite particular verse. Give us today our daily bread. And if there's anything, you know, Sam probably knows way more about bread than I do. See if I can say anything he doesn't know. Okay, give us today our daily bread. Now, it's an obvious thing to say, but in the ancient world, bread was the basic necessity of life. Most people, as their basic diet, ate bread. It was extremely, extremely rare for your average person in the ancient world to eat meat. They would eat bread. Much as in many places in Asia today, rice is the basic necessity of life. In the ancient world, bread and grain was the basic necessity. People would take grain. I think it's called a saddle stone. And you'd put somebody in the house, probably most normally it would be a woman. They would put grain on their saddle stone, and using this heavier stone, they would just move it up and down. So, you know, if you want to get strong, you want to get a good back muscles, you'd be going backwards and forwards. Now, tests have been done on how long it would take to grind grain enough for a family of 6 or 8 people. And it would take anything between 4 and 6 hours of grinding to get enough flour
to bake the bread for a family. How does that sound? This is hard work. Are you looking forward? You think it's, yeah, cool? No. This is hard, hard work. And we need to note as well, well, I'll put up another, this is a mill. I think this was found in Pompeii. It's one of the best examples we have from the first century of a mill that was used to grind grain, and the grain would go in the top, drop down, and you just wind it round. And there are, of course, some examples of larger mills that a donkey would be tied to, and they would walk around in circles and so on. But that they were actually quite rare in the first century. But it was all hard work. And it's understood as well that when we think about bread and we think about flour, in the ancient world, their flour didn't look like what we used to. If they had grain and they ground it, everything would go in the loaf. Okay? They wouldn't sieve what they've just ground. It was either wheat or barley. They wouldn't sieve it. Everything would go in. And apparently all sorts of things would end up, bits of insect and sand and grit and all sorts would go in the bread. And it was a hard life. Are you salivating at the thought of this? So when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, it really is the basic necessity for life. And life was even worse in many ways, because the Roman Empire and even Herod the Great, ruling on behalf of the Roman Empire in Palestine, demanded tax and tributes of the people. And often the tax was collected as grain. So if you owned any land at all and you grew grain, well, the priority for the grain that you grew was to be given in tax to the empire. And that, of course, created a very difficult situation for you and your family. Many families then got into debt and they had to sell their land and rent it back off the person they'd sold it to in order to pay their debts. Now, life was difficult. And I'll put here Herod the Great and famine just to remind me that when a famine struck the land of Palestine, Herod the Great, who was the ruler for over 40 years, he imported grain from Egypt. He gained permission from Augustus Caesar to import grain from Egypt. And he gave out grain and bread to the people for many, many years. And that was we might say, well, that's an act of generosity from the ruler. But actually, it was the same ruler who made the people extremely poor in the first place. And now he's giving back to them. So I say all of this because life in the ancient world was a very tough life. And the bare minimum that was needed for their lives was bread. And Jesus encourages his disciples, give us today our daily bread. But I'm going to put up this. Father God is a gift-giving, life-sustaining, prayer-hearing God. In Exodus chapter 16, if I was to say that chapter to you, what comes to your mind? Exodus chapter 16. Anything? It's to do with bread. You can tell you're a teacher. Manna. You see, the people of God were set free from slavery. God delivered the people, his people, from slavery in Egypt and promised them that he would take them across the Red Sea, across the wilderness, into a new land. And they believed God and they trusted God and they began their journey out of Egypt. They took whatever they could carry, several hundred thousand of them. They left Egypt, miraculously crossed the Red Sea, and began journeying across the desert. They hadn't gone very far before they ran out of food. And once they'd run out of food, it's amazing how our stomachs can guide and direct us and what our needs are. They hadn't gone very far, they ran out of food, and they began complaining against Moses, their leader. And they said to Moses, "It's great that God has set us free. But when we were slaves, we were slaves, and that was awful, but when we were slaves, at least we got fed. And the people complain against Moses. And Moses complains to God about the people, saying, what an ungrateful bunch of people they are. But God, because Father God is a gift-giving, life-sustaining, prayer-hearing God, he heard the cries of the people, and he said to them, I will pour out food for you from heaven. And in Exodus 16, we have the story of how God provided what the people called manna. Every morning, when they got up, the land was covered in this substance that they could gather together. And they called it manna, literally translated there from the Hebrew. We would translate the word as, what is it? That's what the people said that first morning. What is it? What's it? Anybody like what's it? Maybe that's what it was like. What's it? What is it? And then God said to them, I will give you manna every day for 6 days. And on the sixth day, well, every day, just collect enough for the day, because there'll be more tomorrow. But on the sixth day, collect double, because there'll be none on the seventh day. No manna will be made available to you on the Sabbath. Some people didn't believe that God was faithful. Some people didn't believe that God would keep his word and provide day after day after day. And so they kept more than they needed. And it went rotten. And they couldn't eat it. And it was a lesson to them that God is a gift-giving, life-sustaining, prayer-hearing, and prayer-answering God. And when Jesus says to the disciples, pray this, give us today our daily bread. Understanding that bread is the most basic necessity for their lives. No doubt their minds would have gone to this episode in the desert where God is faithful to give them all that they need every day. So there you have it, daily provision of manna in the desert from Exodus 16. And the call to them, the call to the disciples is, remember what God has done in the past. And I didn't know how else to, I don't know if story tell is a proper word. But tell the story. Talk to people about the story, about the fact that God has answered prayer. God has been faithful in your life before. God has given you gifts. God has given you everything you need. God has answered your prayers. And then trust him. Just like the people of Israel, particularly on the sixth day, they had to believe, if we gather 2 days' worth of manna, it will survive. Unlike on the other days, it will survive for the seventh day. And there'll be more manna available on the first day of next week. Give us today our daily bread, this basic necessity of life. God is faithful and will give. But there's something else we need to reflect on today. Jesus and the disciples lived in a world of stark contrasts. What I've described is that bread is a basic necessity for life, and life was difficult for most people. Having bread was what they had. They rarely had meat. And yet the world they lived in and were aware of was a world of stark contrasts. Stories are told about overindulgence. You can read stories about what people who had more than others, how they lived, and particularly how they ate. And the way they used to eat would be 10-course meals were not uncommon. How does that sound? 10-course meals. They would, by tradition, for some, I don't know quite why, but they would eat late in the day. So it would be well dark by the time they started eating. And then they would have 10 courses of the most extravagant foods. And that is set against all those who had only the basic amount of food. And there is this stark contrast that they lived with. And I put up there Augustus Caesar and Rome. You might say, well, why is there this contrast? Why is it that some people have so much and other people have so little? Augustus Caesar used to look after Rome. I mean, he looked after the whole empire, but he looked after Rome. Every year, between 300,000 and 400,000 tons of grain was imported from various places to feed the people of Rome. Okay? Between 300,000 and 400,000 tons of grain was imported to Rome to feed just the people of Rome. And what was set up initially under the Roman Republic, but then under the emperors, was there was a pyramid of dependence and subservience. Now, what I mean by that is if you were a member of the emperor's family, then you were top of the list. You got your food. If you served in the military, then you got your food. If you were a senate, very high ranking position in the empire, you got your food. If you were anybody else, if you wanted to get well fed, how do you think you did it? By kowtowing to those in power. So the higher up the pyramid you were, the more likely you were to be given what you needed. Because people didn't grow their own food in Rome. They didn't have their own food. They depended upon others to give it to them. And Caesar gave it to those who were close to him, those who were subservient to him first. And so when Jesus says to the disciples, pray this prayer, give us today our daily bread, they were very aware of the world of stark contrast they lived in. So how do we respond to this? We go back to the story of the people of God travelling through the wilderness. The people in the desert, as they travelled, they faced a choice. They could either go back to Egypt or they could go forwards to the promised land. They knew that if they went back to Egypt, they would be in slavery again. They would have to work for others. They wouldn't own anything for themselves. They would be harshly treated, but they would be fed. They wouldn't have to trust God if they went back to Egypt, but they knew they would be fed. And they faced the choice. Do we go back to Egypt where we will be safe and comfortable in our lives? Or do we go forwards? And every day, if we go forwards, and if we continue upon what God has called us to, we will have to trust God every single day to provide for us what we need. And this is exactly the same question and issue facing the disciples. Do we bow down to those in power? Do we play the power games that all of our neighbours play? Do we submit to the not just the political leaders, but the religious leaders as well? Because we know that if we do that, if we play their games, we'll be okay. But Jesus says, pray to your Heavenly Father. Ask your Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread. Don't ask Augustus Caesar. Don't ask the person above you in society to give you what you need. Ask your Father God. And every step you take in your life, every step you take is a statement of trust in God's faithfulness. That's what the people of Israel faced as they went through the desert. And that's what the disciples of Jesus are facing as they pray, give us, Father, give us today our daily bread. I would rather rely on daily bread from Father God than eat meat in comfort in slavery to the unjust values of Egypt. That's the choice that they were facing. And we can replace Egypt here with Rome for the disciples. And we can replace it in our day with other power structures and other power figures. And the call for us is not just to speak the words of a prayer, but to seek to live the prayer as well. As we pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. We seek to live in a way that honours the values of our Father, of love and kindness and generosity, not playing the games of our society and culture, but relying on God that He is faithful and He will look after us in our generosity and in our trusting in our Father God. Give us today our daily bread. Amen. Let's pause together that we might pray. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Father, you have been faithful to us, and you continue today to be faithful to us. Help us, encourage us, and strengthen us that we might trust in your faithfulness for tomorrow. Help us, Father, to see and to turn away from the values of our culture and society that are not your values, that are not the values of love and compassion, of generosity and kindness. And help us to live in a way that is a representation of our trusting in your faithfulness, our reliance upon you. And may every step we take be a statement of trust. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us afresh, that in all that we do and say and all that we live and are, there might be an outflowing of the kingdom. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.